I would like to say welcome to some special lady that we have here, my sister Migdalia Arroyo. Migdalia, you are very welcome. You are with your daughters. Yeah, thank you for choose our chair for worship today. We have more visitor, brother. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Everybody, thank you for being here. This special moment for our church around the world, because we have received the call for 10 days of prayer. The whole church around the world is praying, seeking for the holy anointing, for the Holy Spirit. The church around the world is praying for a new Pentecost. Today, more than never, we need that power. Today, more than never, we need to pray in some way that we can receive the power we had receive the motivation we have, we can receive every need that we need for finish the preaching of the gospel. For that reason, brothers and sisters, I would like to invite you for our chair. We will starting tomorrow. Tomorrow 8? Yeah, through Zoom. Everybody here is invited to join us. To pray, to pray, to pray, to pray. The question is, who need to pray? Everybody. Why we need to pray? We need to pray for our church, but we need to pray also for our family, for our children, for our challenge, for our goal. We need to pray the secret for the victory. Delaney. Where is? The secret is to pray. Everything is possible through prayer. Do you believe? Brothers and sisters, young and adult, a visitor, member, you are invited to join us through Zoom. Tomorrow is a special day. For the next 10 days, our chair will be praying every day, every night, in some way that God can show His glory, His power in our life. Amen? I would like to invite you to pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, humbly we come to you, in front of you. We come in front of you looking for your presence, looking for your power, looking for of your Holy Spirit. We are weakest, we are powerless, but we need you because we have a great challenge in this world to preach your gospel, to be faithful, to share Jesus in our world. Please use us and be with us in this moment that we will be open your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A new Pentecost. Jeremiah 23, verse 3 says, call me and I will answer you. Call upon me and I will show you thing, marvelous thing that you don't know. That is the promise. And that promise was not only for the past. That promise is also for today. Call me, pray in front of me, and I will show my power, my mercy, my marvelous in your life, in your family. This is the call for today. we confident we can request that promise. God has made that promise, and that promise is for you. Today, we need a new Pentecost. Today, we need the same power, the same spirit that showed in the beginning of the church. The church received this promise.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8.
That was the Jesus promise for his church. In that moment, his church was a small group, powerless group. In that moment, the church has a big challenge to share the gospel, to go wherever to preach the gospel. But they were powerless. But Jesus made that promise. The question is, Jesus fulfilled that promise? Yes. In the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come upon the church. The church received the power. And what happened when the church received the power? They received the energy, they received the inspiration, they received everything that they were needing for fulfill the mission. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, the church went wherever to preach. The chain fell down. The chain broke down. The chair fulfilled the mission because they received the power. And that promise was for the beginning. But now, for the end of the time, we have received the same promise. Because the gospel starts with power. And the gospel will be finished with power. Today, the church need to knee down and ask for that promise. Because that promise was not only for the church 2,000 years ago. This promise is for our church today. This promise is for our family today. Because today we have the same mission. Today, we have the same challenge. Today, we need to preach the gospel. Today, we need to share Jesus in our community. Today, I will share with you five things that we need to do in some way that we can experience a new Pentecost, that we can receive again the same power. Five things. Number one.
Five things that are necessary to live a new Pentecost. One, the enthronement of Christ in our lives.
Okay. When we see the Bible, we can see that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost was an early manifestation that something special that was happening in the heaven. In the heaven, Jesus was enthroned. When we see Revelation 5, we can see that in that moment, Jesus was proclaimed like a king of kings, Lord of lords. He was enthroned in the throne of the universe. That was happening in the heaven. But that event that was happening in the heaven has a manifestation in the earth.
A, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was an earthly manifestation of the enthronement of Christ in heaven, Revelation 5. B, the Holy Spirit had always been active among God's people, Genesis 1. Jesus himself was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit had been working during the ministry of Christ, Luke 4, 18 through 21. But he would not be given in all his fullness until the exaltation of Christ in heaven, John 7, 39, Acts 2, 23.
The Holy Spirit had always been working in the earth, but no, after the Pentecost, the promise was fulfilled completely.
See, then I saw standing in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures and the elders a lamb that seemed to have been slain. He had seven horns and seven eyes. These are the seven spirits of God sent out into the world, the whole world. Revelation 5, 6.
Okay. When we read Revelation 5, verse 6, we can see that when Jesus was enthroned in the heaven, he put out, he sent the Holy Spirit with all power, all manifestation to the earth for support his church here.
And D, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said the following about this. This Jesus God had raised up, for which we all are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you now see here and hear. Acts 2:32-33. Keep going. Peter associates the exaltation of Jesus, the glorification of Jesus with Pentecost, Acts 2:1-34. It is known that in the Jewish festival calendar, Pentecost followed Passover. It occurred 50 days later, Leviticus 23:15-16. Pentecost was the feast of the harvest or the first fruit of the land, Exodus 23:14-19 and Leviticus 23:9-22. Peter's message is that this first powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit that they receive on Pentecost came as a result of the glorification or coronation of Jesus.
Of Jesus. The point here is, when the disciples received the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, they were receiving the authority from Jesus. In that moment, Jesus had been proclaimed King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That means the whole authority that Jesus received, he shared that authority with his church. And then, now the church has the power. The church has the authority. The church has everything, because now they are proclaimed, not Jesus the carpenter. They are proclaimed the Redeemer. They are proclaimed the King. They are saying, our King is a star over everything. Now we are proclaimed that Jesus is the Lord. In the same way, today we need to proclaim that Jesus, the Jesus that is enthroned over everything. He had the authority, he had the power, and he had shared his power, his authority with us. Brothers and sisters, we cannot fulfill the mission until we can realize that we are going to proclaim the gospel, not with our power, not with our knowledge, but with Jesus' power. For that reason, Jesus needs to be enthroned in our heart, in our life. Jesus need to be our King. He need to be to have his kingdom in our heart. In other way, it's impossible that we can experience a new Pentecost. Number two.
Look to Calvary. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers, Acts 1:12-14.
Before Pentecost, the disciples, they were common human beings. They were powerless. They were afraid, no? They were hiding from the authority. But everything changed after they looked the Calvary. Everything changed after they go to the upper room and they spend 10 days praying, 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 and looking for the Calvary, looking for Jesus.
The disciples were not the people fit to turn the world upside down. They were just common, ordinary people like you and I who struggled with doubt, fear, and unbelief. The disciples' eyes were focused on Jesus, on his life, his sacrifice on behalf of humanity. Their eyes were directed to the final hour of Jesus' life, Gethsemane, the trial before Pilate, Calvary.
What happened?
In these 10 days, the disciples were humbled. They were united. Self was finally crucified. They were now ready vessels for God to move in a powerful way. What happened next is history. The upper room once again reclaims its true purpose, where unceasing prayer leads to the unleashing of God's power through his Holy Spirit, Acts 2:1-4. The upper room becomes a symbol of death to self and the resurrection to new life. This explosive combination causes the disciples to step out, recharged and ready to change the world for Christ.
Amen. We need to do the same. Where do we need to look?
To Jesus.
Sister Rosalie? I need to see, to look, Rosalyn?
Yes.
I need to see, to look, Judy? No. I need to see, I need to look, Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Brothers and sisters, where we need to look? Every time, we need to put our eyes in Jesus. How, what he did for us. How he was already available for die for us, to suffer for us, to give his life for us, because he loved us. In same way, today, we need to look Jesus. Because when we look Jesus, we will surrender our heart to her, to him. When we look Jesus, we will realize that the more important in our life is not how big saving account we have in our bank account, the title and our healthy achievement, but to fulfill the mission. We need to look the Calvary. We need to look how Jesus was available already to suffer for us. Number three.
A voluntary and unreserved surrender to God. Be willing to be guided by God. A, there are many who believe and profess to cling to the Lord's promise. They speak about Christ and the Holy Spirit, yet they do not receive any benefits. B, they do not surrender their souls to be guided and governed by the divine agent. Psalms 143:8-10.
Which is the problem?
C, the unusefulness of one who puts self aside, allows the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts and live a life completely consecrated to God, knows no limit. JTT, page 3209. Jesus testimony, something like that. Okay. D, only those who wait humbly on God, who watch to receive his direction and grace, is the Spirit given. The power of God wants for them to ask and to receive. DTG.
That means, brothers and sisters, that we need to say, Jesus, take out myself and put your Holy Spirit in our life. Amen? No is what I can do, but what Jesus can do in me and through me. Surrender our life to Jesus. This a bigger, a huge challenge in spiritual life, because we used to be
sufficient.
But the question is, what we can do for ourselves? Nothing. But what we can do through Jesus?
Everything. Praise God.
Number four.
A burning desire to save the lost. What is God's purpose in pouring out his Holy Spirit? Acts 1:8. A, the purpose of God in giving us his Holy Spirit is to empower us to testify, to help others be saved. If that desire is not in us, then no matter how much we ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we will not receive it. B, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all those who are asking for the bread of life to give to their neighbors. SC page 3.
The point here 3, is 12. We cannot ask God the blessing of His Holy Spirit, at least that we have passion for share the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit is not for sure how big, how strong, how darling I am. The intention when God gave us the Holy Spirit is that we can go in front of the lost and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. You have a savior. You have hope. I am here because God has sent me to say that He wants to save you. When we have that passion, then we can ask God, bless me with your Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that means if we want to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, if we want to experience a new Pentecost, we need to have passion for sharing the gospel. God has called us not only for busy down here. God has called us for proclaim the gospel. Wherever we are, we have a mission. And that passion need to move our life to proclaim Jesus is the Savior. Number 5.
Claim with confidence the promise of the Holy Spirit. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3.
We can ask from God that promise. We can ask with confidence, God, bless us with your Holy Spirit. Fill our heart. Put out your Holy Spirit in our life. We can ask that from God. Yeah, God has made the promise. The promise, I will give you the Holy Spirit. And we need to be confident that God wants to give us that promise. You remember, Jesus said, who will do for you if your son asks you a bread? You will give
a serpent.
A serpent. Who are you if your son, your daughter asks you son because he's hungry? You will give a stone. If you are wicked,
know how to give good gifts.
Yeah.
How much your Father,
your Heavenly Father, will give you the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
The promise, if we ask from God the blessing of His Holy Spirit, He will do.
Yes.
What He will do for us. He is already waiting for us that blessing.
That's right.
Why we have not received that blessing? Because we are not asking that blessing. But I hope that since now, everything will be different. Since now, we are asking God, bless our share with your Holy Spirit. Bring in our share a new Pentecost. We want to have power for save our children. We want power for share the gospel.
Conclusion. A, the descendants descendants of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was the first rain, but the last rain will be more abundant. B, the Spirit awaits that we ask for him and receive him. C, Christ will be revealed again in his fullness through the power of the Holy Spirit. D, Christ promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to his church, and the promise belongs to us as much as it did to the first disciples. But like every other promise, it is given under conditions.
Which was the result when the Holy Spirit fell down for the church in Pentecost?
One, the church grew in love through fellowship. Two, the church grew in depth through discipleship. Three, the church grew in strength through worship. Four, the church grew in breadth through ministry. Five, the church grew in size through evangelism.
Amen. I would like to ask you to please stand up and together read this quote.
Okay. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord. But because God is not willing to bestow his blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it, our Heavenly Father is more willing to give his Holy Spirit to them that ask him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. But it is our work by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us his blessings. A revival needed be expected only in answer of prayer.
Amen. I would like to ask you to choose some partner and pray for a new Pentecost in our life, in our church. We have a great, great need. We need the Holy Spirit. And God is already waiting that we ask, and he will give us that blessing. Please choose some partner and pray for the Holy Spirit. Now is the time. Pablo, you are my partner.
Yes.
Yes, we will be praying for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Rosalie, who is your partner?
Jesus. We're partners.
Sandra, you.
Oh, okay.
Everybody, Jean, you have a partner. The Holy Spirit with you. Okay. We have one visitor. Maybe he needed some share member. Robert, please approach that handsome man. Yeah. 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 He's a member. Yeah. Okay. Please, he used the last part, a handsome man.
Okay.
Pablo, it's time for praying, asking God, put out your Holy Spirit in our life.
Con tu espíritu para obras en tu voluntad, Señor. Gracias, Señor, que tú nos has llamado a nosotros por tu nombre y nos has llamado a nosotros como tú nos conoces bien. Ayúdanos a ser valiente para ti y una útil herramienta en tu mano para tu gloria y tu honra. En el poderoso nombre de Jesús.
Amén. Querido Padre, gracias, Señor, te damos por la bendición que tú nos has prometido. La iglesia del siglo I vio la manifestación de tu gloria, el cumplimiento de tu promesa. Ellos recibieron el poder y ellos, Señor, salieron a proclamar de que Cristo es el Salvador. Las cadenas se rompieron. Los prejuicios, Señor, fueron rotos. Tu gloria se manifestó a través de tu iglesia. Milagros, maravillas, Señor. Liberación. Hoy nosotros tenemos la misma necesidad. Señor, llena nuestros corazones de ti. Danos, Señor, el deseo de salvar a otros. Danos, Señor, el deseo de permitir que tú sea entronizado en nuestras vidas, que tú seas el rey de nuestras vidas. Señor, que tú reines, que tú gobiernes de manera soberana. Por favor, bendice nuestra vida, bendice a Pablo. Pon tu Santo Espíritu en él, bendice a Lawrence, bendice a los hijos. Bendice, Señor, a cada familia de esta iglesia. Bendice a Mike, bendice a los ancianos. Señor, danos un año de victoria, de unción para gloria tuya. Por Jesús. Amén.
Amén.
Dear Heavenly Father, we need your presence. We need your power. We need to be anointed for your Holy Spirit. Take control of our life. Take control of our children. We need your manifestation in our life, in our church, in our family. We need a new Pentecost. Please give us the power. In so way that your glory can be shown through your children. We need children that need to be safe. We need husbands that need to be safe. We have a family, co-worker, neighbor. We have a community that need to be safe. But we can do nothing for ourselves. We need your presence. We need your Holy Spirit. In some way that this year, 2025, can be a year of great advance for your church. Everybody here, we want to put our life in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.